was the most authoritative order that one can have, and it has not been acted upon. And what is happening today with this Gaza Humanitarian Foundation is an utter travesty of that. And I think we can all draw the logical conclusion from this shameful failure to prevent an utterly foreseeable disaster and crime.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us, and we'll link to your reports, your preliminary findings at democracynow.org. And also, again, Alex, your London Review of Books article that we interviewed you for in May called Starvation in Gaza. Alex DeWall, Executive Director of World Peace Foundation at Tufts University, author of Mass Starvation, The History and Future of Famine. He's working with Forensic Architecture on their forthcoming report on starvation in Gaza. And Davide Fischitelli, speaking to you in London, advanced researcher for Forensic Architecture. When we come back, we'll look at a new 972 report on Israeli soldiers saying they're dropping grenades from drones in Gaza like a video game, that the goal is for Palestinians to learn through blood. We'll speak with Meron Rapaport, editor at Local Call, columnist with 972 magazine. Stay with us.
Today I feel weak, but tomorrow I'll feel a queen. I was raised by the street. Do you know what that really means? All this hurt I've suffered, it just begins again in a baby girl. Tomorrow will come like the turning of the sun over tall buildings and the beating of a drum. It lives in my heart, but buried in the past. Here comes the navigator. Fading fast.
The Navigator by Linda Segarra of Hooray for the Riffraff, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The independent news outlets, 972 Magazine and Local Call, run by Palestinian and Israeli journalists, have revealed Israel's increasingly using grenade-firing drones to enforce evacuation orders. Israeli soldiers admitted to 972 they deliberately targeted civilians so others will, quote, learn not to return to their homes. One soldier said using drones to target Palestinians was, quote, like a video game. For more, we go to Tel Aviv, where we're joined by Meron Rapaport, editor and writer at the independent Israeli news site Local Call, a columnist at 972 Magazine, which published the new report headlined, Like a Video Game, Israel Enforcing Gaza Evacuations with Grenade-Firing Drones. The piece has already elicited a response from the Chinese firm Altel, which says it never knowingly sold and authorized its drones for use by Israel's army. 972 Magazine's new piece is headlined, Autel denies selling drones to Israel. So why are they roaming Gaza skies? Meron Rapaport, welcome back to Democracy Now! Lay out what your report reveals.
The report reveals that from the beginning of the war, Israeli soldiers started to use very simple, cheap drones that were bought independently at the beginning, even by donation, from Amazon or whatever. And eventually, the army turned these drones that are basically for photographing, for surveillance. They turned them into an attacking machines by adding some kind of a tool that enables these drones to throw grenades from the air and using a remote control in order to throw them in Gaza. This is quite widespread. It exists in almost all the combating units in Gaza, as far as we know. As it was not by the beginning, distributed by the army itself, but bought by the soldiers themselves, by the units, it's less organized, but still it's quite widespread.
So 972 in local call spoke to seven Israeli soldiers and officers who served in Gaza for the investigation. A soldier they identify as S was deployed in the Rafah area for nearly 100 days, where his battalion conducted dozens of drone strikes. S said the intention of the strikes was to kill, despite the majority of victims being located at a distance where they couldn't have been threat to soldiers. He said, quote, "It was clear that they were trying to return to their homes. There's no question. None of them were armed. Nothing was ever found near their bodies. We never fired warning shots, not at any point," the soldier said. He went on to describe the aftermath visible in the drone footage. Dogs eating the bodies that weren't collected. Quote, "I couldn't bring myself to watch a dog eating a body, but others around me watched it. The dogs have learned to run toward areas where there's shooting or explosions. They understand it probably means there's a body there," unquote. Another soldier identified as H, who served in central Gaza, said, quote, "Were they aimed at armed militants? Definitely not. Once a commander defines an imaginary red line that no one is allowed to cross, anyone who does is marked for death," unquote. In your report, you note, quote, "The Palestinian journalist Yunus Tahrawi published footage he had obtained of one of those drones dropping a grenade, which, according to him, targeted civilians in the Netzarim corridor in northern Gaza. On the drone controller screen, the text, 'Iron ball drop device,' appears. Based on the interface design and additional images reviewed by 972 and local call, there's strong evidence that the drone was an Autel model." Respond to all of this and the significance of Autel.
Yes, I think we have learned from these testimonies, and there were others also published by Yaniv Kubovich in Haaretz a few months ago, that the Israeli army draws some kind of imaginary lines in Gaza where Palestinians are not supposed to cross. And the way they learn that they cannot cross it is by practically shooting them. So then the other Palestinian will understand that this is a line that cannot be crossed. Now, in this, what we have described is connected also to the evacuation orders that grew in numbers and in magnitude in the last few months, in which Israel ordered the Palestinian to leave whole neighborhoods in Rafah, then in Khan Yunis, also in the north. And the way these drones were used is to sort of force this evacuation order by targeting those who were found in these areas. Either they didn't leave yet or they tried to return to their homes. So using the drones enables the soldiers to target from afar. They don't need to be quite close to the Palestinians. It could be in 2 kilometers to 3 kilometers away, because they're using drones and, of course, a screen that enables them to see what they are targeting. Now, Otel, and there are other drones, I must say, that are being used, civilian drones that are used in Gaza by other companies, Chinese companies. Otel are saying that they never authorized this, that this is against their policy, completely against their policy, that they are not, that their drones should not be used in combat areas and not target civilians. It is really not very clear how these drones arrived there, but it is quite, distributors in Israel told us that Otel is more or less aware. We don't know what's the truth there. Otel, as I said, denies that completely, categorically, and say that the distributors are not saying the truth. But the fact of the matter is that these drones are there, that they are by Chinese manufacturers, either Otel or others, and that they are used to attack civilians. This is the fact of the matter.
And finally, talk to us about that quote of an Israeli soldier who talked about the goal is for Palestinians to learn through blood.
Yes, this unfortunately is not new. As I said before, there was also a report by Yaniv Kubovich in Arts about 4 or 5 months ago, and again on the Netzarim corridor, where he also had the testimonies quite similar of soldiers saying that the army draws some line, and the way to implement this line is just to shoot anyone who crosses this line. And many, he said that this report also, that the great majority of them were just civilians. Now, with the drones, it is more effective because it could be, as I said, on a wider range, 2 or 3 kilometers away from where the soldiers are stationed. But the idea is the same. There is a line, and the line, the Palestinians know where the line is just by being shot at.
We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much, Meron Rapoport, editor and writer at the independent Israeli news site Local Call, columnist at 972 Magazine. We'll link to the new report, like a video game, Israel enforcing Gaza evacuations with grenade-firing drones. It was written by Yuval Abraham, who is the Oscar-winning co-director of the film No Other Land. Next up, as the Trump administration shutters the EPA's research arm, we'll speak with a former EPA top administrator and with the journalist behind a project featuring federal workers who are speaking out called I Do Solemnly Swear. Stay with us.
Well, I'm the first to say
Rising Kane performed in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We look now at the impact of major cuts by the Trump administration to key federal agencies. Last week began with a Supreme Court order that cleared the way for the mass layoffs at the Education Department, and ended Friday with the Environmental Protection Agency announcing it'll eliminate its scientific research arm and begin firing hundreds of chemists, biologists, and toxicologists and other scientists after denying for months it intended to do so. The move has sparked widespread backlash from public health experts and climate advocates who've warned this could lead to the dismantling of protections that shield communities from hazardous chemicals, water contaminants, and toxic pollution. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin has aggressively gutted the EPA staff and other regulations at President Trump's behest. For more, we go to Durham, North Carolina, where we're joined by Jennifer Orme-Zavaleta, a former principal deputy assistant administrator for science at the EPA Office of Research and Development. We welcome you to Democracy Now! Can you talk about the significance of wiping out your agency, your office within the EPA?
Yeah, thank you for having me. So the Office of Research and Development was part of EPA upon its creation. And the main purpose for the office is to provide science to help inform agency decisions and help to solve environmental problems. It provides essential information on air quality, water quality, the communities where we live, and helping to ensure that they're safe, and more importantly, protecting public health. By eliminating this office, the administration has also proposed creation of a different science office that would be under the administrator's office, and moving some staff to the agency's program offices, the air, water, chemicals office, and the land and emergency management office. But it's also been encouraging a number of staff to leave through these deferred resignation programs or early retirements. And by doing so, we are losing a treasure trove of historical knowledge, of scientific expertise, and really it's going to limit what information, what science would be available for the agency to consider in protecting our health and our environment.
DOGE talks about the restructuring saving the country money. I think something like $748 million. Are they really saving the government money here, or just using this as an excuse to wipe out regulations that have been put in place to protect Americans?
Yeah, no, it's not going to be saving money. And first off, the $700 million budget, it exceeds what ORD's budget is. And if anything, it's going to be shifting the economic burden, sending it more to communities, to hospitals, to families, and helping to address their healthy needs. It's really the cost saving is just a guise. It's misleading. And it's going to have consequences for the American taxpayer. People are not going to be protected.
So let me ask you something. The EPA says it'll create a new office called the Office of Applied Science and Environmental Solutions to replace your office's functions. Could you talk about the significance of this?
Sure. So right now, the Office of Research and Development is a national program office. And it's to be led by a Senate-confirmed leader, assistant administrator. And those assistant administrators have usually been very well-respected, renowned scientists. By moving this office, by eliminating ORD and moving it to the administrator's office, it will not be led by a Senate-confirmed leader. It will be under the administrator's office, which opens the door for perhaps greater political oversight. And it's unclear, really, what the function of this office is going to be, what kind of research, if any, they'll be conducting, or are they going to be really an in-house contract laboratory that will only do work as requested by the programs within the agency?
Jennifer Orem-Zavaleta, I want to thank you for being with us, former Principal Deputy Assistant Administrator for Science at the EPA Office of Research Development, Research and Development. The EPA has announced it's shuttering this scientific research arm, with hundreds of scientists expected to be impacted, not to mention the number of people across this country. To talk more about the impact of cuts by the Trump administration that are dismantling essential services provided by the federal government, we turn to some of the voices featured in a new series made by members of Federal Workers Against DOGE, which now has about 2,000 current and former federal workers. The project is called I Do Solemnly Swear and features a dozen current federal workers across agencies like FAA, CDC, EPA, and the IRS. They shared their testimonials anonymously. This is an employee of the Internal Revenue Service speaking about tech companies collecting data from the IRS.
You've got contractors like Palantir coming in, and you've got Microsoft and all of these tech guys who were standing at the inauguration together, working together with federal agencies on your data, on your information. And I have not read enough sci-fi novels to see or to understand what's coming or what's happening. I'm trying to piece together how the IRS is going to shift away from tax compliance and the fairness aspect into using the IRS criminal investigation officers as police officers. We don't think that the people that were elected are now the people that they warned us about. We can't comprehend that our data is going to be used in malicious ways by the federal government. So now, who's the bad guys? And we just don't know. But what we're seeing is this administration is testing everything, including laws. Hey, can we get away with this? I would bet that in the long term, what we will see is that government will have to repair the damage that is being done by DOGE.
So that was an Internal Revenue Service worker featured in the new series, I Do Solemnly Swear. This is another testimonial featuring a FAA, a Federal Aviation Administration worker, describing the FAA regulations being removed.
You know, we say at the FAA that our rules are written in blood. And what that means is, every rule that we have to regulate air traffic control and pilots, every single one of those was created because there was a disaster and people died. We have people coming in to FAA now saying they know a better way to do it when they don't even know why FAA does things the way it does. The rules are not written in crayon. For people to come in and try to haphazardly change things without recognizing that when things were done a different way, people died. It's so difficult to see people who really do want to do the job well put into these awful situations where they're forced to choose between protecting the public or protecting their jobs. That's not something we should have to choose between. When you see leadership cutting corners instead of doing their due diligence, firing people indiscriminately, no matter how mission critical they are. You know, I think if you asked me today if I would feel safe getting on a plane in this country, I would say yes. You know, maybe I'm an optimist, but I believe in our frontline staff, and they work so hard to make this one of the safest places in the world to fly on an airplane. But, you know, ask me that question again in 6 months, and I might give you a different answer.
So that's a Federal Aviation Administration worker, a worker at the FAA, featured in the new series, I Do Solemnly Swear. For more, we're joined by the series director and co-producer Laura Nix, a Peabody Award-winning, Oscar and Emmy-nominated filmmaker. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Laura. Congratulations on this audio series. Talk about the significance of it now. I mean, even as you come out with the series, a number of the people that you spoke to who were still working, so wanted to protect their identities, have been fired or laid off or what, RIFT, reduction in force?
Thanks for having me. The series is speaking to people who are, I'd say almost everyone in the series is still working inside the government, and that's why they remained anonymous. They spoke to us at great risk, because right now, if they were able to reveal themselves, they would probably be fired or they could face the risk of criminal prosecution. But what we learned from them is how essential services that Americans have thought that we could depend upon for decades are being dismantled across almost every agency in the government. Mm.
Can you talk about what happened to the EPA workers who signed, I think it was about 150 of them, who signed a declaration of dissent? Weren't most of them immediately escorted off out of their offices?
By signing that dissent, they were all immediately put on administrative leave. And that includes one of the people that we interviewed in the series, who was not the woman who spoke earlier, but another person. And the risk of people being able to speak out right now is highly dangerous for them. And that in and of itself should be an alarm bell for all of us, that people just can't even talk about what's going on inside their workplaces. That's why we did these interviews.
This is an EPA worker discussing his fears about the future as DOGE continues to slash funding and fire workers.
They're slashing government funding, firing career employees. Why are we cutting all these employees? No one can give us answers. Our water, our air, our land are protected by people, and it doesn't magically happen that these programs exist and people are healthy. The environmental justice employees are the ones that are protecting our most vulnerable populations, and they're going to be let go because of Trump's DEI agenda. Environmental justice isn't a buzzword that's meant for political advantage. In wealthy, affluent neighborhoods, you don't find, you know, garbage dumps. You don't find factories. You don't find cancer alleys. The environmental justice is a science. We're making sure that these polluting industries don't get away with it scot-free. You create this exodus of knowledge. There's not going to be these scientists to protect the people from deadly contaminants. People forget that federal workers are also taxpayers. And I can assure you and everyone else that as taxpayers, we don't want what they're doing. DOGE is harming the public. It's harming the taxpayers. The real profound impacts aren't going to be within his presidency. It's going to be everything that happens in the future, and we might not even realize it's happening when it does. That's what's keeping me up at night.
That's an environmental work, EPA worker, part of Laura Nix's remarkable series, I Do Solemnly Swear. One of the Veteran Health Administration, VA employee, warned that suicide prevention lines for veterans are understaffed and overwhelmed, raising alarm for life or death consequences. I think that population, veterans, is one of the largest suicide rates. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I was really struck by the VHA worker that I spoke to. They're incredibly dedicated to their veteran clients, and they spoke very emotionally about how worried they are about their welfare in the future. And, you know, the series is directed, my co-creator Mark Weiss and I felt it was very important to focus on not just the illegality of the firings, but the impact on Americans of the hollowing out of these services and benefits. And we've depended for a very long time thinking that these benefits and the safety of our highways, our water, our airspace is safe. But we're learning that these are all being taken away. In the instance of VHA,
we have 10 seconds.
okay, this is a population that needs help, and they're very dedicated. These public servants are dedicated and committed to providing services.
We have to leave it there. I think 18 veterans die by suicide each day. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.